The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said in reply to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel stories, in fact, all of the Bible stories are filled with mountains. Have you noticed? From start to finish. Jesus was born on a high hill in Bethlehem. The house of Elizabeth is on a high hill in Judea. The city of Nazareth is on top of the hilltops in Galilee. They may not be mountains like Mount Everest, but they're all high places. Remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Mount Tabor today, where Jesus is transfigured. The city of Jerusalem is built on the cluster of mountaintops called the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, and the Temple Mount, the place where Abraham went to sacrifice his only begotten miracle son. This is the mountain where Solomon's temple was built. This is where God the Father accepted the willing sacrifice of his only begotten son on the cross just nearby. This mountain is the holiest site of Judaism as well as Islam, and on all sides are the places where Jesus came to the temple, presided at the Last Supper, prayed in the Garden of Olives, was condemned to death, was crucified, and rose from the dead. Well, you know, I'm from Kansas, so mountains are pretty amazing to me. I will say there's kind of a trade-off. You might not be able to get to see the sky as much here as you can out there. If you've ever been to Kansas or Texas, or I'm told Montana is even the ultimate experience, the sky is so huge, it's so vast. I think it's a contender for what is the best. Well, a lot of people say that high places are the holy places where God met us. But since I don't really believe that heaven is up somewhere, I think that mountains are just places of growth. It might be just as simple as the fact that God picked mountains to do all these important things, because mountains are going to last the longest and we'll always have a landmark to look at. On high places, if it's a clear day, you can learn. You learn because you can see. On a clear day, standing on Mount Nebo on the east bank of the Jordan River, where Moses looked out over the Holy Land, although he was unable to enter it, he could see all of it from there. I myself have seen Jerusalem far on the horizon, almost 4,000 feet above sea level, a mile high above the Dead Sea, which you can see down to your left. Moses could see the mountains of Jerusalem, Jericho, the Sea of Galilee, and Mount Tabor, all the way to the other side of Israel on the shore of the Mediterranean, where Mount Carmel is today, where Elijah had his cave. When you stand on a high place, everything opens up to you. The law of Moses came to us in his mysterious visits with the Lord on Mount Sinai after the people were delivered from slavery in Egypt. So we come today to this moment now when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor. I've used this homily parts of it before because I just think this is such a good reflection. So think about the arid desert is the place where we live, or at least where we started. It's familiar to us in these uncertain times in which we find ourselves. We feel the temptation to lock ourselves in sadness and discouragement, to give up and say, what's the point? Well, when we go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, we always go to Mount Tabor. And it's just kind of a mountain that just comes up out of the plain. It doesn't seem to have any big hillsides around it or anything. It's just like a cone. It's like whatever that mountain is in Albuquerque. It's like a volcano that just suddenly appeared, but it's not volcanic. You go up making several laps around the sides of the mountain, then you switch back and forth another half dozen times. Each time you come back around to the side where you started, you're startled by what you see. Higher up, it is so beautiful. A few more times around the mountain, you come back to the same side and can't imagine it getting any more beautiful. I think this is what the spiritual life is like. Each year we come back around to the Lent and Easter side of the mountain. Hopefully we've gone higher and see much wider the horizon. You go up more and it's always more beautiful than before. Well, they get to the top and their vision is filled with something entirely unexpected and new. Imagine if you had never seen the horizon, having lived your whole life in the desert. Suddenly you're on top and you see the horizon stretching in all directions. It would be a lot to take in for the first time. And here in this mysterious place, the glory of God is revealed. Moses is there. Elijah is there. They're talking to one another. Jesus' apostles were suddenly placed in a new context, and there is some confusion in Peter's words because he's trying to process all this. It's this moment, by the way, of transfiguration, which is the inspiration point where I begin the talks that I'm going to have tonight and tomorrow night and Tuesday night. Because what happens at the transfiguration is something we cannot at all explain. The Gospel of Mark says that his garments became whiter than any bleacher, fuller, any bleacher could possibly make on this earth. Which is kind of like saying it had to come from someplace else, right? The Gospel of Matthew says that his face shone like the sun, and his garments became light, white light. So anyway, Peter's trying to take all this in, and he says to himself, or maybe out loud, one of those things he probably shouldn't have said out loud, we're going to build you three tents. You can stay with us here. We can have all this new insight and simply add it to what we've always had, and we don't have to change. We can be the same people we've always been. Things don't have to be different than we've always thought they were, do they? So we'll put each of you in your own little tent and deal with all of this at one time, but still keep you all together. The law and the prophets, and now Jesus too. But God's voice has a finality that is the fulfillment of all the scriptures that have come before. Moses and Elijah vanish. He says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." This is my beloved son are familiar words that we remembered from his baptism in the Jordan River, which actually is just to the south of where you are on top of Mount Tabor. You can see it from there. Transfiguration is not something we observe like spectators. We realize that we must change because the light is also within us. Peter, James, and John look around and suddenly they see only Jesus alone with them. But now they know that this presence changes everything. What we have glimpsed in the light will continue to attract us. Even when we so often feel we are in darkness or are struggling with daily trials and doubts, moving forward, we carry with us the exhilaration and joy and a renewed hope.